Talking today with Roy Lee Lindsay of the Oklahoma Poor Council. Roy Lee, let's talk a little bit about recently USDA got the latest USDA hog and pigs numbers out. Once again, Oklahoma had some increases as far as our overall hog numbers because of more sows.
Well, we saw an increase in our breeding herd, about 9% up in our breeding herd, which we've talked about, I think, for some time, Ron. We're going to continue to see an increase in the number of sows that we have in the state of Oklahoma. Our board recognized that. Even in our strategic plan for the future, our goal is to make Oklahoma the best state in the country to raise baby pigs, because we know that we can produce baby pigs, and then we're going to ship those pigs up into the Midwest and have them finished. And with all of the announcements in the last several weeks of last several months, even of new processing capacity that's going in the Midwest, you're going to see more and more hogs finished in the Midwest. You're going to see states like Oklahoma evolve their industry into more baby pig production, and we'll ship baby pigs to where it's closer to corn, closer to processing as well. So no real shock there that we're seeing that continued increase up about 9%. At the same time, we also saw our market hog numbers come down, and they're off about 6%, if you will, versus a year ago. And that's just a transition that's taking place. It's folks taking existing farms and converting them into sows. So we haven't built any new farms. The numbers that you're seeing as far as increases aren't new farms. They're renovations of existing facilities. They're taking nurseries or they're taking finishers and converting them into sows. So we're not adding farms. We're just changing the nature of what those farms look like. And I think long term for Oklahoma, that's the trend that's going to continue here, is that taking finishers, and we have to have a certain number of hogs to fill and feed the plant in Guymon. So there's a bottom. There is a floor to how many market hogs we're going to eliminate, if you will. But with all of this new processing capacity, and it's like 10 million head a year that's coming for the industry in the next couple of years, when you start talking about that's 500,000 new sows, 550,000 new sows that have to come in nationally just to fill the processing capacity that's being proposed. So some of those sows are going to end up in Oklahoma. I think that's very clear. I don't think it's certainly not all of them. I don't want everybody to panic. Oh, we're going to. No, it's certainly not all of them, but some of them are going to end up here. We have great climate. We've got good people. We've got good resources. This is an ideal location to produce baby pigs. Right. And so I think that's going to continue long term, and that's the trend you're going to see. Probably for another couple of years, you'll see that market hog inventory in Oklahoma continue to trend downward a little bit, and you're going to see the breeding herd inventory trend upward.
It's very difficult to even apply for a new hog operation these days, isn't it?
Well, you know, we don't know. The last time someone filed a new license application with the Department of Ag was back in 2001. Nobody's even applied for a new license since. We have made some changes to the permitting process and the licensing process, if you will, over the last several years. I think the last time we addressed that was 3 years ago at the legislature. But no one's tried it yet, so we don't really know how the system's going to work. But if I have an existing license and I just want to convert it from market hogs to sows, then all I have to do is submit my plans to the Department of Ag, and I can make that change. It doesn't require new hearings, and you'll actually be reducing the number of animals that are there. I mean, when you convert a finish site to sows, you reduce the overall number of animals that are on that site. So there's no issues in terms of how we manage it. There's no issues in terms of relicensing in those things. And I've contended for some time that the most valuable part of any farm today is its license. So once you have that license, as long as you maintain it, you do the things you're supposed to, then you have the ability to work into the future. And you can sell the license, you can repurpose your farm, you can whatever, but you already have your license. So I don't know what it's going to take for a new farm to be built. Nobody's applied. And so until someone actually goes through the process, we don't know for sure if the changes that we've made over the last 5 or 6 years really matter, or are really going to impact the system or not, because nobody's tried it.
One national issue we might talk about, that's the continuing saga of USDA and HSUS on the pork, the other white meat. Any I know that Pork Board, MPPC have really come out very strongly calling on USDA to defend the sale.
Yeah, it just is mind-boggling to me that USDA believed that they would better serve the interests of pork producers to settle a lawsuit with HSUS than they would to defend a contract that they had approved. And that I think was short-sighted on their part, thinking that this was just about the pork board and where it goes. But the same rationale would apply to all the checkoff programs that are overseen by USDA. Mm-hmm. If one producer decides they don't like a decision that was made by USDA, and instead of defending that decision and how it fits within the purposes of the checkoff program, USDA is going to offer to settle those lawsuits. What does that mean for the future of checkoff programs in the country? And we know that checkoff programs are constitutional. We know they're protected and that they do fit within our system, because we've got the Supreme Court case on the beef checkoff from 10 years ago. So I don't know what they were thinking when they thought this is a great idea. We'll just settle this and make it go away. I think you saw Secretary Vilsack, who first said that, yes, the industry asked us to settle that. I think the next week after the industry stood up and said, wait a minute, we don't know who you're referring to when you say the industry, but it wasn't us, mm-hmm. being the National Pork Board or National Pork Producers Council. I think his exact quote was, I may have got a little bit ahead of my skis, and basically saying that, yeah, we made that comment, and that probably wasn't the right comment. They're still in the process. They've told the court that they would review the value of pork, the other white meat. They would review the sale, and they would report back to the court on that valuation. Is it a legitimate valuation? Are we still are we paying for a valuable product, if you will? And I think the answer to that is absolutely. I can't tell you, while we're not, you know, we took the pork check mark, if you will, out of our logo, we still are distributing information about pork, the other white meat. Lots of states still use that pork chop, if you will, in their logo, been very active. So it's more than just pork, the other white meat. But pork, the other white meat, at Ag Day at the Capitol yesterday, I can't tell you how many people stopped by our booth, and that was their comment to us, pork, the other white meat. That trademark, whether I'm actively putting it on advertising or not, still has real value, because that's how people relate to us. And we're confident that when you get a current valuation, that that's going to still have real value, and that USDA is going to be hard-pressed, I think, to justify saying, yeah, your valuation is wrong. Because all of the numbers, regardless of what HSUS says, all of the numbers support that it is extremely valuable trademark. Was one of the most successful advertising campaigns and slogans of the last 40 years. You know, if you look at modern advertising, it's going to be one of the big was one of the top five ad slogans of all time. And nothing has changed in that regard.
777. Obviously, we're still several months away from the actual vote. How do you feel the campaign's going at this point?
I think we're doing well. Obviously, we'd like to raise some more money, and that's going to be important to us as we go through this piece. But we're continuing to get out to meet with audiences, to share why this is important to Oklahoma agriculture, why it's important to Oklahoma as a state. As I came in today, I was looking at some of the material that you all have here from your partnership with the food bank, and talking about 1 in 4 children are hungry and 1 in 6 Oklahomans struggle with food insecurity. You know, I see 777 as being about choice at the grocery store, choice at the supermarket, and the ability of those who can't afford food today to be able to afford food in the future. Mm-hmm. And adopting policies that make food more expensive doesn't help us feed the hungry. It doesn't help us take care of our own. And so I see 777 as helping to protect those choices across the supermarket, protect consumer choice, as opposed to limiting it. I think we're doing a good job of reaching out to audiences. Certainly the opposition is out, and they're working hard as well. We expect this to be a contested race. We never thought it would be a cakewalk, if you will. But the ag groups in the state are still pulling together and doing everything we can as a group to see that this passes in November.